Our theme for the week has been to walk in wisdom and redeem the time. And Jamal's message today is going to touch on that as well. Being wise and redeeming the time. It's a good message that we need to hear. I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew. It's probably familiar to a lot of you, about the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. You want to follow along? It's on page 830 in the Pew Bibles, and it's on the Bible app on your telephones. Just click on Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You know, if you really think about that, that's some pretty heavy stuff. There were some people that were not prepared, and while they were occupied doing other things, the bridegroom came. And they missed the feast of the wedding lamb. Jamal's going to share more of that with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Jamal. He is a great brother. I've known him for over 8 years now. We've traveled the world together. When you hear that I'm going to Iraq every year, this is the guy who babysits me in Iraq and takes care of me. I take a good Arab brother with me just to protect me when I'm over there. He's a good guy. But what a great ministry he has. He has a wonderful wife, Myrna, and his 3 boys. They're like my boys. They always look for Uncle Randy to come with a suitcase full of beef jerky and sweet and sour, whatever they love all the time. But the ministry that he has in the Arab world is bar none one of the best I've ever seen. He builds relationships. He's not big on creating big programs and big productions. He's big on building relationships. And he brings help to the people, the refugee camps, the Syrian refugee camps, the Yazidi refugee camps, the Iraqi refugee camps. I've been there with him on a number of occasions. And those gifts, as the Bible says in Proverbs 18:16, your gift will make a way for you and put you in the presence of great men. And because of that, because of what he does, members of parliament, government leaders, generals in the army, they want to meet this man. They want to talk to him. And he's going to come share with us. He'll tell some of his stories. A brother that I love, I've lived in his home many times. He's living in my home now. I have the privilege of making him coffee and toast every morning. Please welcome Jamal.
Thank you, Randy. Good morning. Well, Randy bade me to say these things, you know. Randy, he is really is a blessing for us. First of all, I want to thank you, really, for allowing me to come and to share and to stand here. It's a privilege and honor for me to be here in St. Louis and to share with you. But I want to thank Randy, because Randy, I know him since more than 8 years. And when we got met and we start working together, and he brought the help of the central to us in the area we were working. And I realized, you know, Randy, many people, they love him, even my kids. And all the missionaries' kids, they love Randy. And I don't know why. He get them all the stuff. Because he care. He care is not about the ministry. He care about the family and the missionaries and the kids. And he care for everyone. And 2 years ago, my son, you know, he's 8 years old, and he came to his mom and he said, "Mom, I would like Uncle Randy to be my dad." And you think about it, you know, he is really, really loved, and he comes with us and he served with us. He meet with the people we work with. He doesn't mind to sit in the floor. He doesn't mind to talk to the people. He doesn't mind to eat their food. He just very humble himself, you know, to go to places, and we will drive for long hours, and he doesn't mind. Actually, you're blessed by him, and he's a blessing for us, and thank you for sending him to us, because to be blessing for us. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want, Lord, to lift up your name and ask you, Lord, to come and to speak to our heart, Lord, and to open our eyes and our heart, Lord, to you, Lord. We want to focus on you. We want to see your face, Lord. And we want to, in these days, Lord, which is the latest days, dear Lord, we don't know when you are coming, Lord, just to be ready for that moment, Lord. Lord, help us to receive your word, Lord, and to your voice to speak to our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I gotta start talking or preaching, but it's not the way of the American. I would like to preach in the way of Jesus he preached. He used stories. I have no 10 point or 25 point or whatever, or I've got the stories. And what Jesus he used in his ministry is the stories. Today is gonna be different. It's gonna be stories. Well, when I got married, 1995, to my wife, Myrna, we start preparing for the wedding. We worked very hard to find the wedding dress. And we worked very hard to find the church, working very hard to find who's going to preach. And we worked like for 6 months of preparation, what to do, what not to do, who to invite, who's not to invite, all of these things, you know. Preparing even, we are harassing to practicing how to get in and out of the church. For me, it was really, I just want to get on it with it and I get married. I don't want to do all of this hustle. But you know, women, they love all of these things. They want all the details and all that stuff. Well, we plan as much as we can. We did everything we can do. We chose the music. We chose the path. We done everything we can do as the plan. And in the day of that day, and we did that because it's going to be the best day in our life. And we thought that is going to be the most beautiful day, which it was. Anyway, we went to the church. We had the sermon. We had everything. We done all the things we prepared for it. And we went to the reception. I'm looking at my watch, you know, when's the people they're going to come? And most of my friends, the Western friends, you know, the American and the British, they didn't come to the reception. And I was sitting there waiting and looking at my watch, worried, and what is going on? Why they don't come? I don't know why. I just, you know, thought, what happened? Did I done something wrong? Did I say something to them? Did I make anything bad? I don't know. Well, I start calling them. I said, guys, where are you? Why are you not here? Why are you not in the reception? I'm expecting you to be here. Well, they told me, you don't invite us. I said, what? How that happen? I send you the invitation. I have I written your name. I invited you. But they said, you don't mention the reception in the invitation. And I thought, wow, guys, in our culture, if you invite somebody, you invite him for everything. You don't invite him just only to the church or only to the reception or only to that. I never thought I should mention, you know, reception. And that was my mistake. Everything is done. Everything is being prepared. Everything is beautiful. But I didn't done it right. And we go back here to the wise and to the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins and the foolish and the wise ones, they did the same things. They done everything they know to do. They prepare for everything. And that's what, and to make sure, you know, the foolish, they were in the door of Jesus waiting for him, waiting for the groom to come in. They're standing outside. They've done everything like any other. Just like us. We go to church. We preach. We do things. We volunteer. We do some stuff. We give. They've done everything like the others. But they missed one thing. The Bible said here, you know, Matthew 25, you know, they left the oil. They forgot to take the oil with them. They did the same when I forgot to write, come to my reception. And that is the time when the disappointment will come, when you are really not ready. You don't know what is happening. I felt that disappointment is exactly how the foolish women, they felt it. When the Lord said, you're too late. You haven't brought your oil with you. And the oil is a present, the Holy Spirit. And the oil, it being used for the light. In that time, they lighting the light with it. And that is a present. The foolish, they don't have the light. But the wise, they have the light. And God make us to be the light of the world. And he wants us to be the light. We're not here just to be, you know, people going and doing stuff. Yeah, doing is good. Doing whatever you do for the Lord is good. But if you are not the light for your community and for your people and for the people around you, Jesus is not interested in your doing or in your work or in what you do. Yeah, it's good. What you do is good. It's great. God will love it. But the Lord, he's looking for his Holy Spirit to work in our life, in your life. We all going to be the light of the world. And to be honest, when we teach in Middle East, when I work with Muslim background believers, it's all our ministry is working with the people who come from Muslim background. It's not the Christians. And we when they come to our courses, when they come, you know, they want to follow Christ, the first things I do with them, I just open the Bible for Matthew 10. I said, please read it once, twice, three times. I want you to read this chapter as much as you can. And if you disagree, if you agree with it, and you want to follow Jesus in reality, you read it. And what this is all about? Jesus, he said, you're going to have trouble in your life. He said that. I mean, he told that the disciple, father against son, son against daughter. We're going to have all of that. But he said, Jesus, but trust me, I will be there with you all the time. And if one then come to Christ in the Middle East, in our people, when they come to Christ, they know the price. They're not coming here like anywhere, you know, well, they can choose whenever they want to go to church. No, they know if they come to church, if they can become Christian, they might lose their life. They might lose their wife. Might they lose their husband or their kids. Might they will be beating up. That is the price. And they're not really signing for enjoyment time to go. And they know it's a price there. This is why now we are in the latest days, and I believe, you know, Jesus is going to come and ask us. It's like when he asked Peter, and he said, what the people saying who I am? What the people saying who I am? Well, we all can stand up and say, yeah, Jesus, you are the son of, you are the healer. Yeah, or you are the provider. You are the killer. You can do everything for us. And when he asked Peter, he said, Peter, you Peter, what do you say, who I am? Who I am? And Peter, he said, you are the son of the living God. And I think that's the question is going to go back to each one of us, no matter who we are, American, Arabs, Christian, Muslims. Jesus will ask each one of us, you, who am I to you? Am I your, who am I? The provider, the guy who make you safe. Yeah, he's gonna save you. He's gonna take care of you. He's gonna bless you. But you, what do you think who I am? And I think when I go with these things, you know, we'll talk to our people. When I see my friend Habib and Randy, he met him 8 years ago, you know, when he been kidnapped by the extremists. And they ask for money, and they want money from his family. They didn't kidnap him because he's a Christian, but because he's a wealthy man. He's working for the oil company. And they ask, you know, they ask for money, and they got their money, and they're supposed to release him. But before they released him, when they're searching him, they find a flash drive in his pocket. And they took it, and they try it, and they find in it Christian stuff, songs, you know, material of Christian material. And they told him, and you Habib Ahmed, you are a Muslim, yes. He said, yes, this is my name. And they said, why the Christian stuff in your pocket? Well, he thought this is a good time to share his testimony. Well, this guy, he started saying to them, this is when I met Jesus, this is what is happening, blah, blah, blah. And he shared all full of his testimony. Well, these guys, they got upset. They said, okay, we've got the money, we're supposed to release you, but we're not going to do that unless you come back to Islam and you confess Shahada. If it's not, they put the gun in his head and we will shoot you. And we're going to give you a chance, only three. We're going to count to three. And if you're not, we're going to shoot you. And imagine, you are with these ISIS, if they put a gun in your head, they have no mercy. They mean it. They're not playing games. They're not threatening you. They will do it. And they start counting. One, two, three. And they shot him in his head. If I were in his place, what can I do? If you in his place, what you can do? How are you going to go? Are you going to say, yes, I will deny Jesus? Jesus said in the Bible, you know who deny me? He doesn't deserve me. Yeah? Are we going to deny, even if we died, you know, even if it's going to be the price of our death? But praise the Lord, this man, he's still alive. He didn't die. The bullet went from here, went out from there. And he lost sight, one of his vision from one of his eyes. But he's still alive. And when we went to see him, I see him every time, but when we went to see him, Randy came with me to see him because he was sharing his story. The phrase he said, I will never forget in my life. What he said, Jamal, you know, nobody can take my life only by the permission of Jesus. Do you have that faith? Bullet in your head, gun and shoot into you, and you trust Jesus, and even he kept him, and he is a mighty man, he's serving the Lord, he is being more preaching in power now, because he said, nobody can take my life. Nobody can take my life. That's one story of people who comes to Christ and they're willing to put their life on a line. The other story I want to share with you, which is one of our friends. He is a pastor in Iraq. We had a human rights group. They came from USA, here. And they went to him and they asked him, we would like to go and visit all the minority groups around your area. We want to see what is going on whatever is going on. Well, our friend Jamal, he's Pastor Jamal, his name like my name, he took them to the places, to the villages, where is the Yazidi, the Shiite, the Sunnis. He took them everywhere. And our friends, when they came back here to USA, they wrote a report. And in that report, they make the government look so bad, very bad. And they exaggerate so many things that wasn't really true. And the government there, when they saw all of these reports against them, they got upset. And they went to our friend Jamal, and they took him and they put him in a very high, secure prison. They put him in the terrorist prison because they really were very angry with him. Well, how dare he to take the American and to lead them to do what they did. And they came, they took him from home, you know, and we spent like 2 months after they took him from home. We don't know where he is. Nobody knows where he is. We tried to find him everywhere in the church, in the police stations, in others. We tried to find all our connection to find him. We couldn't find him because when you've been in a terrorist prison, nobody knows where you are. This is very highest secure prison. Well, anyway, the guys who did the problem here, they find out they did the problem. And they managed to make connection with the senators here, with the government. And they asked me if I can go and visit him in the prison. And they wrote to the president of Kurdistan, special letter is to give me 20 minutes to go and see him, to find out, you know, what is going on. Well, the story is, what I want to give you from that story, the first time I just entered to the room to see him, he just put his hand like this, Jamal, don't pray for me to be out. It's a crazy man. You are in a high secure prison, very bad place to be. You know, nobody would love to be there. Is they treating them like animals, even worse than animals. Nobody would love to be there, you know. And you're asking, everybody talking, you know, about you, praying for you, even government talking about you, even politician is involved in your case. You don't want to go out? Are you crazy? He said, come down, I will tell you why. He said, this prison is my mission field. You and others, they will never come here and can share the gospel. Wow. I said, are you crazy? He said, yes. He said, last week I led one of the high terrorist leaders in this prison to Christ. He was under my feet, crying and giving his life to Jesus. He told me, can you do that? I said, of course not. He said, this is what the Lord allowed this to happen. It's very bad. It's very unacceptable. But the Lord redeemed what he's going through. And he led people to Christ in that prison. You see, situation, hard times, difficulty is not, it's not to complain against God. It is to give grace, to give praise and glory to Jesus. And I love this man. He's out now. He's with his family. We went, me and Randy, we visit him many times, visit his wife and his kids. We're praying. And he's one of our pastors. It is hard when you are in this region, when you're seeing these people, what price they do when they follow Christ. And that is the message I learned for myself as a worker in this region. Is it I'm ready if somebody put a gun in my head, will not deny Jesus? If I'm in a prison, I'm going to complain and cry and say, oh, come and take me out? Or I'm going to say, no, the Lord put me there to bring the glory to the others and bring people to the kingdom of God. That's some stories. I'm going to share also a little bit about ministry. We do a lot of work. We meet with mayors, with government officials. The Lord, with your help and Randy's help and they comes, we did concerts, we did events, we helped the refugees. And that has opened the door for us and for our ministry. They saw we are Christian, we love them. The best weapon you can use against the terrorists, okay, what? Love. Love. When you love them, when you go to their country and they see what you're doing, you love them and you give them and you help them. When we do ministry to the refugees, we don't care where they come from. We help the Yazidis. The Yazidis, do you know what the Yazidis? They are the devil worshippers. Okay? People here, they make them look like a sect of Christian. But they are not. They are the devil worshippers. But we help them. We help the Catholic, the Orthodox and the Catholic and the traditionals. And we have the Christian and we have the Muslims. Because they've been persecuted also from ISIS. They've been killed. And we help the Shiite, who's also been killed by ISIS. We don't care. We just want to show them. And we say, we're Christian. And we come with the love of Jesus. And we give you because Jesus put the love in our heart. And we start seeing what? The fruit. People come to Christ. We baptize so many people. One refugee camp is the Yazidi. I went one day and gave them the Bibles. And the head of the camp, and he came to me, was very angry. I said, why you give us Bibles? You know, this is Christian book. We are Yazidi. We don't want that. We don't want to. You bring food just to use that? I said, yes, wait. You know, and he was very angry. I told him, listen, take these books and read them. I'm coming in 2 weeks' time. If these books harm you or harm your people, I will take them back. Is that a deal? He said, yes. Okay, we'll do that. I came next after 2 weeks. You know, he came to me before even I come from out of the car. He said, do you have more books? We need more books. He said, we sit here all day. We have nothing to do. And we read all the books. And they read the gospel, read the Bible. They're all the Christian books we have. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes it's not just our work. Okay, God is doing his job. Even if we don't do it, God is doing it. I share the story about a lady. She had a dream. In her dream, she saw a street, a town, a city, a house. And in that town and city and that house, in her dream, something she didn't know is the Lord, but she said, somebody has told me to go and visit that house and knock that door and ask them about me. And this lady, she obeyed her dream. She moved, she took the taxi or the transportation from her town to that next town, and she went to that street, and she looked for that house, and she knocked the door. And guess, she found it. The lady, she opened the door for her. She was a Christian, and she was a preacher, and she was the evangelist, and she led people to Christ. And she told her, you know, I had the dream, and this is why I'm here. I want to come to ask you about my dream. And the lady, she took her in, and she led her to Christ. And I think the Lord, you know, is doing, even if we're not, he's using us, but also he's is at work. And I will come back to what is all that here in Matthew, the wise and the foolish. Are we ready to answer the people who ask about the reason of hope we have? We have the Word of God in our heart. Do we have the hope we can take to the Muslims, to the Yazidis, to the Iraqis who comes? You have Saudis, I heard here. You have people from all nations, and they are in your town. Are we ready really to have the oil of the Holy Spirit and the light and to give it to them? And we don't want to argue. We don't want to say, do you know what is bad, what is wrong, what they do, what not they doing. We just want to show them Jesus. And Jesus, He will change their heart. And as He changed my heart, He will change their heart. And thank you for having me. Thank you.
You know, Jamal makes the point of who are we to reach out to? Who are we to help? I've literally had people say, I will not help the Palestinians. I will not help the Yazidis. I will not help anybody from ISIS. You know, my prayer is that God would reach into those hearts. And He often uses vision and dreams, particularly in the Muslim world, some places we can't go. He uses these visions and these dreams to reach them. Jamal has so many stories. He's going to share a video at lunch. I hope you can come to lunch today at 12:30. He's going to show a video of when he went into the refugee camps. And one of the things you didn't talk about this service because you don't have time to tell all your stories, but he did go into the military. We baptized one of the captains a couple years ago, and he's connected Jamal to a general and other high leaders in the military. And they actually asked Jamal to come to the front lines where they're fighting ISIS and to pray for the guys because they were getting ready to engage in a pretty big battle in a couple of days. And they said, would you come and pray for our guys? And then they asked for Bibles. And unfortunately, Jamal had given all of his Bibles away and he didn't have them. But I told Jamal when I was in England last week, and I said, we're going to help you get those Bibles. And if you want to be a part of that, talk to me. But we're going to get Bibles for the military and some more for the refugee camps and for those Yazidis who don't want them and suddenly realize they do want them. You know what? People who deny God, who deny the Word, who say they don't want it. The Word, whether it's written, whether it's spoken, does not return void. And God will use that in powerful ways. And this is a man who's willing to go. And I'm a little chicken who goes with him occasionally, but he goes every month and fights these battles for us and for the sake of the gospel. So continue to pray for Jamal and for Myrna, for the three sons that they're raising, and for safety. God has been gracious. I was telling Jamal that it's not the ISIS and the guys. We go across borders and these guys have guns and they check us out every time, but it's the drivers out there that really scare me more than anything. We took 2 or 3 hour dusty road rides, and man, there's two lanes of traffic, but there's five lanes driving in those two lanes. It's just amazing. So pray for Jamal and remember him.